This week, after marrying at just 19 years old, Chris and his young bride divorced after just 12 years. He was heartbroken, but they remained friendly and were great co-parents to their two children. He was single, and he was happy. Fast forward 12 or 13 years, and Chris goes on a Tinder date that changed his life forever. And trust me, the change is not for the better. Welcome to My Crazy Divorce.
I'm a failure as a husband. I'm a failure as a man.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
It's a great day, I'm feeling good. Oh, the possibilities of what I could. Oh, do with the world at my fingertips. My imagination brings a smile up to my lips. Oh.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to My Crazy Divorce. I'm your host, Tom Milligan. So, I was just looking through the back catalog of episodes and couldn't help but notice that we've had a lot more women than we've had men on this show. Is that because only women have crazy divorce stories? I doubt that very much. I'm sure there are plenty of men out there with equally crazy stories. They're just not that into sharing. Look, I don't care about your gender at all. So if you have a crazy divorce story, I'd really love to hear it. So please visit mycrazydivorce.com and click on the apply to be a guest button. It only takes a minute to apply. Today's guest is one of those men who's chosen to share his story. And I'll tell you what, if you've come hoping to hear a crazy story, this story will not disappoint. But before we get to the interview, always remember that I'm not an attorney or a therapist, so nothing on this show should ever be mistaken as legal or therapeutic advice. Please seek out an actual professional if you need that type of support. Okay, if you're ready, let's get this show started. Chris, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to hear this story today.
And so am I. Thank you for having me.
All right. So just so everyone's aware out there, Chris and I, we talked the first time probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he told me, obviously, a very abbreviated version of the story, and it is crazy. So I'm excited to hear the detail today because, wow. Yeah. And let's start with where you came from. You just told me right before we started, you said you're a redneck. So I'm going to, you said my redneck ass, I think, yeah, is what you said. So yes. let's start with that. Where were you born?
Well, actually I'm adopted. So I came from a Catholic Charities and, yes, that's a whole new band, ain't it?
So yeah.
Yes. I'm adopted. It's a great, 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 great parents. And they've raised me from a baby to what I am now.
Well, that's great. So where they raised you in the South? Let's hear about where, yes, did you grow up?
I grew up in a small community, Loretto, Kentucky, just outside of about an hour south of Louisville, so on a farm.
Wow. So you really did grow up on a farm. That's yes, like the true redneck.
Oh yes, yes. Tobacco, cattle, the whole nine yards. Yes, you're exactly correct.
Wow. Wow, you don't hear that very often anymore. So, were you the only child then?
No, I have a younger sister. She too is adopted, but not blood related to me either. So we're both adopted from separate families.
So. Oh, great. And are you close to her still?
Yes, we actually live probably a quarter mile from each other on the farm. She lives on one end of the farm and I live on the other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you really have stayed close. And are your parents still with you?
Yes. Both of them are still alive. They're both, they probably live a couple of miles from us and they're in their mid 70s. Yeah. Still going at it.
Okay. So let's learn about Chris as a young man. So you've got this sister, you've got these awesome parents that have adopted you. Were you like a hellion growing up or were you just the good boy?
Oh my God. The stories they tell, I was hell on wheels. They used to I was hard to control. So yes, I was a hellion as a child. Big time.
So you aged your parents more than your sister?
Oh, probably pretty equal on that. I ain't going to say more. Probably pretty equal. So, but I gave them a heads up. But yes, my parents are amazing. They've been married probably 55 years now, 56 years.
I think my parents were married, 54 years when my mom passed. Oh, wow. So it would be getting close to 60 years now.
Wow.
If she were still alive, my dad is, my dad will be 91 in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So they're way up there.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
Divorce doesn't have to be complicated. Our divorce.com's 3-step procedure provides a simple and affordable process that you can follow at your own pace. Save thousands by visiting ourdivorce.com today.
All right. You went to high school. Did you play sports? Anything exciting about high school?
Not in high school. I played sports all the way up until middle school. Baseball, football, and basketball. Now, I got to high school, it all kind of fell to the wayside because I was a scrawny little kid in school. And of course, you look at me now, I'm not that. I'm by far that, so... I was such a small kid. I probably didn't weigh $1.40, $1.50 when I was in school.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's a small kid.
Yeah. I'm 6'2 now, 240 in school. I don't know, 6 foot and probably 150 pounds. I was a real small fella.
So you weren't doing sports, did you? I mean, was it just all the girls that were just all over you? Is that what kept you from sports, or was it really just you were too small?
No, I didn't care for the sports when I got to high school. It was a time in a small county school to where a lot of racial tension came into play, and it was a different world for me then. So in a small town. And I was real, 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 real reserved. I didn't say a whole lot. I only had a small group of friends, maybe 3 or 4 people I spoke to, and that was it.
Well, talk to me for a second about that racial tension. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, we've had people of various races on the show, but that's mm-hmm. literally the first time anybody's used the term racial tension, especially talking about their childhood. So mm-hmm. How did that define you, and help us understand that?
It was real... To me, my parents didn't raise me in a way to in an interracial tension situation. And I didn't know, when I run into a lot of that in school, you'd have a lot of the blacks and whites. They would separate themselves, no different than what you would see back in the early, 60s, 50s and 60s. You'd see them. Certain groups in this hallway, certain groups in this hallway, and they would come together every now and then and be ready to fight. I'm talking about, 30, 40 people. It was horrible. Of course, I'm clueless about it. I'm coming into high school. I don't know what the hell's going on with it back then. So it was a rude awakening coming from my small enclosed area to something like that. It was quite enlightening. It's like, what's going on? I didn't have a clue.
So basically you're saying you were raised to be, hey, we're all just people.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you get to high school and it's, wait, there's black and white and you can't mix.
That's the way that was seen back then. But I wasn't raised that way. We're all human.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And kudos to your parents for, I don't want to say sheltering you, but at least teaching you the right yes. way to see life. Mm-hmm. There's just no excuse for that.
Yeah.
So and good for you and good for your parents.
And a lot of people peg me for that way, just because of my way I talk, and where I'm from. A lot of people just automatically label me as being someone like that, but I'm not.
Well, you know what? Usually I was going to save this for the end, but since we've just had this conversation about not being a racist.
Yes.
Let's talk about what you're doing tomorrow.
No. And we're going to have a wedding dress burning party since it's going to be what has been our 4th anniversary.
Okay. So tomorrow and you know, we're recording this on August 3rd. It's not going to come out until September. So by the time anybody hears this, this will be long past. But tomorrow, August 4th, would have been your fourth wedding anniversary.
Yes.
From the woman that we haven't even met yet in the interview.
Yes.
And so everybody listening, make sure you go watch, go follow Chris on TikTok. His handle is at Chris197150.
Yes.
So there's no spaces, there's no underscores or anything. It's just Chris197150.
Yes.
And go take a look and watch the dress burning. And by the way, the reason I bring that up now is because he very specifically is creating a platform from which to hang this dress. And he wanted to be very clear that it wasn't a cross. Yes. So no one could make it look like he was burning a cross. So
yes.
I look forward to seeing that tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to be live, but it'll also be posted so that you can watch it after the fact.
Yes.
All right. So with that out of the way, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, you know, you're not an old guy, but you're also not a 20-year-old something. No. So you just said that you were about to have your fourth anniversary here in 2022. Were you married before the wedding or the marriage we're about to talk about?
Yes, I got actually married right out of college, and I was 19 years old, but I only went to a one-year college. It was a trade school. So I was married at the age of 19 for 12 years, I think, and divorced in 2.
By the way, that's the year I got divorced.
Oh, really?
Two.
Wow.
My first divorce was in 2002. So tell me this. Do we need to know anything crazy about that divorce?
No, actually, she and her husband, of course, me being a mechanic, I work on all their vehicles. We have a great relationship. We talk all the time. Hell, he comes, hangs out down here when I'm working on his vehicles and stuff. So, you know, we get along better now than we ever have.
Okay. To me, that's also crazy. Yeah. You know, good for you, but that is a crazy part of it right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got married young, you stayed married for 10 or 11 years,
yes.
Get divorced.
Yes.
Then you're single for a long time until you got married again.
Yep.
How long were you single?
In and out of relationships up until 2015 is when I met my second future ex-wife, as we may call it. So I think we've already labeled her as Badge Bunny. So that's what we're going to call her. So.
Okay. So we're going to, you met your second ex-wife, Badge Bunny.
Yes.
I'm sure we're going to understand as the story goes on why we're calling her Badge Bunny.
Yes.
So let's learn about Badge Bunny. So you met her in, what'd you just say, 2015, did you say?
Yes, that's correct.
Before we figure out where you met her and how you met her, what do you know about her childhood?
Well, I can tell you what I've been told. And, you know, of course, that's...
There you go.
You know, all related and... In relation to what I'm currently finding out as we move forward today. So with her childhood, she grew up within multiple homes. She was, you know, her mom and her dad in and out of different houses in different parts of the Kentucky, let's say. And her mom, I think, been married 3 times, maybe 4. I can't remember. Her mom's a wonderful person. Her stepdad's a wonderful person. I have nothing but kudos for them. They're great people.
So she grew up all over in different places, it sounds like, in Kentucky. And again, this is everything according to Badge Bunny. And let's just put that caveat out there that from what I can gather from our short conversation, she's not too trustworthy.
No.
So we don't know the truth necessarily, but let's find out what she told you.
Well, as far as I know, she had as far as her childhood, I want to say it was not a bad one, because she seemed like she had a decent childhood, and she was, I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest with you, because with everything that's taking place now, it's kind of convoluted. She has told me in the past. She grew up in a home. She had two brothers and a sister. And one of her brothers died at a very young age from, I think, leukemia. And then her other brother just recently died in 2020 from cancer. And she still has a biological sister that's living. And she, I guess, a typical childhood in and out of different schools, because whenever you move from one county to the other, you would be in a different school every time. So, you know, I can't tell you how that plays on a person, because I always went to one school in one county until I graduated. I was public school system. So,
yeah, some of us, it's interesting, because one of our guests from a few weeks ago talked about moving from school to school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you, I went to the same grade school from kindergarten through sixth grade. Then I went to the same junior high with all my friends, and then to the same high school. My parents didn't move a single time from the time I was four. They still own the house.
So
50 years they've owned the same home.
Yes.
And people that have to move from place to place, I understand it's tough, but I can't empathize, because I didn't have to do it.
Yes.
So
it's the same with me. I can't tell you how much of a role that played in their life or any, because my parents still live in the same home that I grew up in.
2 miles away from where you are right now. Yes. So you're just a homeboy right there.
Yes, yes, you're correct.
Was she married before she met you?
Yes, she was married before she met me. And that relationship seemed like it was volatile from what she would. Of course, you only get one side of the story when you talk to someone like that. It, from her side and her perspective, it was volatile. You know, so, and I mean not necessarily physical, just mentally volatile. They seemed like they was always fighting, arguing, or something of the magnitude.
Well, you know, to be fair, this entire show is always one-sided.
Yes.
And I've often invited other, you know, the ex-spouse. And by the way, Badge Bunny, if you're listening, feel free. Come on the show. Happy to have you on here. Amen. With or without Chris. We'll, you know, love to hear your side of this.
Yes.
Absolutely love to hear it. People say to me all the time that, you know, when I tell the story about my ex-wife cheating on me twice, they say, well, you're only telling your side of it. Mm-hmm. True, but which side of the story justifies her behavior? Mm-hmm. Tell me that side.
Yes.
You know, what could she say that makes what she did okay?
Yes.
And there we go.
Absolutely.
And I think, I don't know this story, but I think we're about to hear a similar thing here. Mm-hmm. So, did she have kids when you met her?
Well, at that particular time, I only knew of one child. And that's it. He was a teenager when we first met in 2015. So that was the only child I was aware of. And well, as we progress, we'll build on that.
Okay. Now, did you have kids from your first marriage?
Yes. I got two kids. One's now 29 and the other one's 26. No, 26. 25 and 29.
How old are you?
I just turned 51. Yeah, I just turned 51. I was born in 71. Is that right? Yes, that would be right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I need to start accepting the fact that people my age have 30-year-old children, because it just seems like you're supposed to be 100 by the time you have that. You said that your parents adopted you through Catholic
charities.
Charities or
yes.
So did you grow up Catholic?
Yes, I did grow up Catholic, and I was someone my parents had me at church every time the church doors were open. It was definitely Saturday or Sunday nights. But as I grew up, and they put me in, I was in the church, became an altar boy. You know, I was in the church all the time, so constantly.
How about now?
No. No.
No. No.
Not like I probably should be, but I'm not. No.
So you're just not a religious person, but you're not an atheist either.
No, you're correct. You're correct.
I think we've now established kind of who the players are. We've got Chris, who's divorced and has been divorced for 12, 13 years, mm-hmm. Getting along with his ex. We've got Badge Bunny, who is divorced and has one child at this point that we know of. How did you meet?
We met online at the infamous Tinder.
Oh, this is a Tinder date. I didn't know that. This is great.
Yes.
And this is great. And to my knowledge, I think this is our first online marriage or online date resulting in a marriage. Woo, let's go. Wow. All right. So you meet on Tinder. So we're swiping and and off we go.
Yes, exactly.
And just out of curiosity, so this was 2015.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. In 2015, Tinder was more of a hookup site, not a dating site. So yes. Be honest with us, sir, Chris.
I knew it was a hookup.
You were there to hook up?
Yeah, I knew it was a hookup site. And she claims she didn't know. But if I can remember correctly, when I first got on that site, I almost swear I remember seeing it saying something about it being a hookup site.
I don't know. I didn't see Tinder until 2019 when my ex was leaving. So that's the first time I ever saw Tinder. So in 2019, it didn't say hookup site, but I can't say anything about 2015.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it was obvious to me when I got on it that that's it, what it was. I didn't expect a lot out of it. Little did I know, I expect to get married off of it.
Yeah. Well, so you swiped on each other, or however that somehow you get connected. Did you text for a while, or was it pretty quick that you met?
It seems to me like we met within maybe a couple of days of talking to each other, or maybe sooner. It may have been that a day or two within a meeting online.
Really?
Yeah.
So you guys meet online and within, say, 72 hours, you're meeting face to face.
Yes. Yes. We're meeting face to face and chit chatting. Of course, I don't care to text and back and forth forever. You know, shit or get off the pot. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, there, because you can text all day long. And I joke around with my friends here. You've got text chemistry. Mm-hmm. Then it generally turns into a phone call. And then you got phone chemistry. Mm-hmm. They mean nothing.
Yeah.
None of those mean anything. It's in-person chemistry.
Yes, absolutely. And,
I mean, sure, it's nice to have the text and phone chemistry, but it doesn't make any, it means dick.
Yes.
It means absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So you guys meet, what was your first date?
Well, we actually met at a gas station, you know, just kind of a mutual place, And then, you know, I guess a safe haven for her being a woman. And then I would assume there was probably someone there that was watching us would be my guess. Just a wild guess. And then after we met there, we went and had dinner and everything progressed from that point on.
So the same night or the same day at the gas station?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was trying to picture how this whole thing worked. It was like, I'm at pump number 9.
Well, it was a little hard not to find me. I still had my Harley back then, so I was riding it back and forth. You know, I was back and forth work, so I was on my Harley. But a little hard not to, it's not too many of them.
So you guys meet at the gas station. Mm-hmm. She's got someone watching you probably to make sure you're not a serial killer.
Yeah.
She gave somebody the thumbs up or go okay signal. And so you go off to dinner. Mm-hmm. You start dating. Mm-hmm. Was it love at first sight for you?
For me, yes. It was, she's a beautiful woman. And I thought the same. And I was like, you know, this could be the one. You know, of course, you don't know that right off the bat. But yeah, you know, it was fun. Starting out, it was fun, like any other thing. You know, we chit-chatted, got along good, and had a good time together.
Well, answer me this. In the 12 or 13 years that you'd been divorced, mm-hmm. What was your dating like? Were you like a once a week guy, once a month? How often did you date prior to meeting Badge Bunny?
Well, I've had a couple serious ones in between there. We was together for a year or two, and it was just, you know, kind of more so grew apart than we did anything. So it was, I was no serial dater. I don't think I was anyway. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But were you fairly active dating though?
Yes.
I mean, once a month, is that safe to say?
Yeah. Well, there was a time I didn't date for a while. It was probably several months. I wouldn't date because I was just like done with it. You know, I just wanted to build myself, be myself.
Yeah. I'm currently in a I'm done situation. So, yes. It is taxing sometimes to even think about going out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the money. Mm-hmm. And you know what, for me, it's not even about the emotion. It's just the effort. Mm-hmm. And if I find somebody I want to be with, she's worth the effort, but getting to that point is just a pain in the ass.
Yes. I agree with you. It's one of those things to where you walk softly for a long time because you're walking on eggshells. You don't know which eggshell is going to burst. And you're like, shit.
Well, and you know, it's funny. I don't know about you. I mean, my situation, I was married to two different women for basically 28 years. I didn't spend a lot of time single between the two. I don't know how to be single. And so I'm kind of enjoying learning how to be single. Mm-hmm. I prefer to be with a partner, but I want to make sure it's a partner, not a security blanket.
Yes, exactly. And the thing with me, I think I may have been single too long because I became too independent. Some people say that, you know, you can be single too long because you can become set in your ways.
Well, yeah, if you're going to ride a fat boy Harley, you don't have a desire to have a woman on the back, man. You've got to get an old man bike. To get,
yes, there you go.
So you guys go out a couple of times. You think she's love at first sight, but you're also cautious because you've been through this before. Tell us about the courtship. Just walk us all the way up.
It wasn't long after we met. We was already talking about moving in with each other. You know, maybe less than a month, maybe 2 months. Within 2 months, she was moving in with me because I had my own place, my own house. You know, everything was. I had everything on my own. And of course, she was freshly out of a divorce and she just had got her own apartment and everything else. So she really hadn't settled in her own apartment.
So you've been divorced for 12 or 13 years. She's been divorced for how long?
It was still fresh. I'm wanting to say maybe 6 months or less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that throws a twist into the story. I didn't know that.
Maybe.
So she just gotten divorced. She's just getting into an apartment. You guys meet, and so less than 60 days later, she's leaving that apartment, moving in with you.
Yes, it was somewhere in that time frame, 60, 90 days. I can't remember the exact, but yes.
Wow. And let's keep in mind here, these are not two-year-old kids.
No.
You're at that point like 45. And how old was she?
I guess she would have been 40. I guess she would have been 40. Yeah, 40, 41. Because she's about 4 years younger than me. Yeah.
Okay. So we're not talking about two little kids. We're talking about seasoned adults. We're moving right in, baby.
As seasoned adults, use that word mildly.
Well, I don't want to say adults who should know better. How's that? I was trying to be nice, Chris.
Seasoned adults. I like it.
So 60 days in, you're moving in. Okay, keep going with the story.
Okay, so we're moving in with each other, getting ourselves settled, and I think we're doing great. You know, I'm driving back and forth work. I live an hour from work. And then at this point in time, when she moves in with me, that puts her at living an hour from work. So we're both commuting back and forth. Of course, I'm not going to live in the city. I'm not a city guy whatsoever. I'm going to stay out here where I'm at. And she was loving it at first, you know, out here in the middle of nowhere, didn't have to worry about no crime, no neighbors, no nothing. So, now we lived together. I thought things were going great. So, you know, and then, and the funny part about it is I paid off her divorce lawyer, her first divorce lawyer. I paid that off. Yes.
Her first divorce lawyer. There's got to be a story there too. What do you mean by her first divorce lawyer?
Well, from her first husband. I mean, of course, I'm obviously the second one. So, you know, it's behind her
right
now. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm using it in the past.
So you paid off her attorney.
Yes, exactly. Paid that off. That should have been a red flag for me, but anyhow, and my dumb ass did not. It just went right toward it. But anyhow, paid that off. And we continued on, and we done good. And it was probably 2017 that I asked her to, we had talked about marriage, and I'd asked her to marry me. And her first marriage was one of the justices of the peace. So she wanted a real wedding with a wedding dress and the whole nine yards. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. Because my first wedding was the whole nine yards. I mean, it was in a Catholic church. So just go figure what that imagined was. I mean, the full-blown wedding, the dinner, everything. So, we had that for her. I ain't going to say I gave that to her because we planned that together and done it for her because that's what she wanted. Me, I've been happy with the justice of the peace at this point in my life. So,
let me ask you this, and I don't generally ask this question, but I'm genuinely curious here. You're, 44, 45, you're probably 45, 46 or 47 in 2017, give or take, right?
Yes.
Why did you want to get married? Why not just stay living together? What was the motivation?
She had mentioned the whole wedding thing about she wanted a real wedding with a real wedding dress and wanted the whole shebang. I was content with just living together, but she kept dropping the hints. And I said, well, I loved her. I respected her and I thought the world of her. So I said, how to do this. And I did. So, I proposed to her and she said yes. And then, of course, from there, it was game on.
So, and I'm not blaming Badge Bunny for your marriage, but let's just say you were okay with the way things were, but you knew she wasn't. So,
yes.
You made changes to accommodate her wants.
Yes. And I was okay with that. It's a small token, and I was okay with that.
Let's talk about, so you've been living together for a year and a half-ish, give or take, before you asked her to marry you, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And everything was going along. She's dropping hints along the way. Was there a cool engagement story that we should hear?
Not really. I mean, I did get down on one knee and ask her to marry me. I mean, that was it. I mean, nothing outside of the normal.
Okay. It wasn't like at pump number 9 at the gas station where you met her.
No, but that thought was in my head when I done it, though. So, yes, that thought was
in
my head.
It's either at the pump number 9 or at the Subway sandwich shop in the gas station. Okay, so you get down on one knee, say, will you marry me? Yes. Did you just get married right away?
No.
How long were you engaged?
Was probably engaged maybe 8 months, 9 months, somewhere around in there. I can't remember exact times and dates, to get everything planned out. Because she was all excited about she wanted it a certain way. And of course, me being a typical guy, I really didn't care, so.
My dad I have four older brothers, so there are five boys in the family. My dad always said, boys, the two most important words you'll ever learn are, yes, dear.
Yep.
And
I agree.
And that's true. And by the way, one of my brothers was very wise one day, and he said, I agree with Dad on that, as long as you marry someone who doesn't take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
And I think that's both statements are true.
Yes.
My dad is right, and my brother was right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Divorce doesn't have to be complicated. our Divorce.com's three-step procedure provides a simple and affordable process that you can follow at your own pace. Save thousands by visiting ourdivorce.com today.
8 months into it, so we're now somewhere in 2018, I assume. Is that when you got married?
Yes, August 4th.
Oh, yes, it would be, because tomorrow's your... Yes. Tomorrow, August 4th, 2018.
Yes, that's correct.
It's the first time I've ever known someone's wedding day.
That's
great. So 4 years ago tomorrow, you guys walked down the aisle. Was it at a Catholic church again? Or how did... Tell us where about the wedding. Was it awesome?
And we was buried at a lodge. Her stepdad was a member of a lodge, a local lodge. So we set up everything in that lodge. It wasn't at a church. We had a deacon marry us, I guess is what you want to call him. You know, he came and married us that she had known. He was a friend of the family for years, and he came in and married us, but it wasn't at a church.
At some sort of a lodge, did you have to wear funny hats or anything, like a fez? Or...
No, but I did ask it questions.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, exactly. And I did get to ride my Harley there, so, but she didn't ride with me. I'm still disappointed over that.
Yeah, that would have added.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get married at the local Moose Lodge or whatever it is. Did you go on a honeymoon?
Yes, we did. We went to Pensacola. We went down to Pensacola and
really?
Yes. Went there for a honeymoon, and I still like Pensacola. My daughter and her son ended up moving there. I moved them back. Now they're in Daytona. So I've been in and out of Florida quite a bit.
So I'll tell you, I moved to Panama City Beach in November of 21. Mm-hmm. So like 8 months ago, 9 months ago. I've still never made it to Pensacola.
Wow.
I've stayed pretty close to home. I mean, I live right across the street from the beach, so I don't need to go anywhere. I walk across the street to the water, and it's the most beautiful beach in the world. So why would I go anywhere else?
I'm jealous.
So, well, we need mechanics here too. Uh-huh. So you could,
yeah,
you could move.
I've got,
I'm just saying,
I've got a few friends that live in Panama City Beach.
Really? See if they want to come to Guy's Night Out. Well, okay, so you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a part of the story that either... It's funny to watch this, and I don't know which arc this is going to take, but it's either starts out great, gets a little better, and then goes to shit, or it starts out bad and just gets worse. Mm-hmm. You guys are married, you're back from your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Which story are we going to hear?
It was great, and it was probably... And I don't know if you're ready for this part yet, but it was great. We got along. We was doing our thing. And somewhere around June or July, I'm going to say, I have to look back the dates, June or July of 2019, she would leave the house and say she was going to visit with a friend of hers, okay? I never gave it a thought, done my own thing. And then I got to, I don't know, just a little birdie in the back of my mind says, you know, just because we had location sharing on our iPhones. We could see where each other was all the time. So I just so happened to look in and see where she would be. Well, it was just in the middle of this parking lot of this mall that's where she was. There was nothing around her. I didn't call her up and say, hey, where the hell are you at or nothing like that. I just let it be. And I would just slowly question, you know, say, hey, you know, what y'all do, what you get into type thing, and let lying dogs rest. And I was like, okay. Then she went to the point when she'd leave the house, and she was fixing herself up when she'd leave here. And I'm talking about makeup, hair, the whole nine yards, okay? Then she got to where she was turning off her location services as she went out the driveway.
That's not suspicious at all.
No, not suspicious at all. That's what gave me the what the fuck moment. So, I didn't know I was doing it. No, just play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Whatever. What the fuck ever. So, and then I would question that. And, of course, she would be, me being a mechanic, I stay up busy. I'm probably busier at home than I am at work. But anyway, I would stay busy at home quite a bit. And then, you know, we would get to be doing our thing. And we would, I noticed that she would be on the phone all the time, constantly texting somebody. And you know the typical little smirk or the smile you get when they're texting someone type deal. You know, you just look yeah. and it's like, what in the fuck? So I started questioning things. And then she says, early on, one of her comments to me, and I had to back up a little bit. This is before we got married. She said, I consider cheating, whether it's physical or mental. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm good with that. You know, I like that statement. So,
yeah. So she said all the right stuff.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And then as we progress, you know, she's doing all these little things like she would leave. I mean, it wouldn't happen all the time, maybe once every month or two or some shit like that. And then what was it? That was 19. And those little things went on all the way up until December of 2020 when she left me the first time. And when she left the first time, she never said a word to me. Only way I knew she was leaving is she withdrew half the bank account. I seen it come all across my phone. She depleted half the bank account.
Okay, so wait, before we get to that, because that's got to be kind of... So if I can recap here, mm-hmm. So starting around June or July of 2019, so you've been married for 10, 11 months.
Yes, that's correct.
Is the first time she's gone out and you've thought about checking up.
Yes.
And that's when you looked at your phone the first time.
Yes, that's correct.
But then she does it every few weeks or so. She mm-hmm. leaves, turns off location services or whatever it is called.
Yes. Yes.
And you're suspicious.
Yes, that is correct. I get suspicious about it. And then that kind of falls to the wayside. You know, it doesn't happen again for a little while. So it kind of, the texting and the phone calls and stuff like that always happen. But nothing as far as the leaving and the turning off location services. And then somewhere around mid-2020, that started up again. I'd have to look back through my records because I went back and I would always take a screenshot. You know, you keep it in the back of your mind. you keep it in the back of your mm-hmm. mind, but you don't want to force it and be that asshole. So,
yep.
And I've got a several screenshots, several photos of things of phone records and things like that I have. And
you know, it's interesting that you should say that. It's really fascinating that you say that because when my ex cheated on me mm-hmm. and I caught her in February of 2017 is when I found out about it. I forgave her, mm-hmm. but that didn't mean that the trust was there. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to counseling and therapy and trying to rebuild the trust. And she was promising all this stuff. And 2 years later is when the emotional affair with a different guy began. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it right away, but I didn't want to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be that guy who said, oh, well, you can't have a guy friend.
Yes.
I wanted to show that I trusted her. Mm-hmm. That is a tightrope that's really hard to walk.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't want to be that guy, but guess what? I should have been that guy.
Yep. Exactly.
Because it was a full blown emotional affair and it's too late by the time you figure it out. Mm-hmm. You're an asshole either way, whether it's real or not, you're the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I totally agree with you. And go ahead.
No, you go right ahead. You're telling the story.
So again, starting somewhere around 2019, all the whole turning off the location services At this point in time, she started doing hair extensions quite often, started doing nails. The whole, I'm going to call it the bougie shit. You know, I'm not a bougie kind of guy. So she would always do that. At that point in time, I became really suspicious with things. And I did not want nothing to do with her physically at this point. Something in me just turned off. And looking back at it now, I know why it turned off. Because she was seeing somebody at that point in time. Because that's what led up to her leaving me in December 20.
Okay, so, all right. So you've been married now for 2 years and 4 months in December of 2020.
Yes.
And she's had, who knows?
Yeah.
At this point, how many meetings?
Yeah.
Should we call them that?
Exactly.
We just don't know. Mm-hmm. So, all right, December of 2020, mm-hmm. she leaves, and you find out she's left because she wiped out half your bank account.
Yes, I'm at work, and I get this alert on my phone that so much money has been withdrawn. So needless to say, I'm saying, what the fuck? Where's the money at? She goes, half of it's mine. Half of it's mine. I'm leaving you. I'm moving out. That's how I found out.
Was there any fighting or anything led up to this, or is it just the simmering anger and betrayal going on?
It was just a simmering anger and betrayal. There was no fighting. I never fought. I'm not one that's gonna scream, yell, and fuss and cuss, even though I probably should have, but I did not. You know, it's just the subtleness of her doing what she was doing in the background that was building against me, making me resentful toward her and like, you know, what's going on? Why are you acting like this? What are you doing? And why are you ignoring me? And stuff like that.
I hate to say, but standard conversations when one party's having an affair.
Mm-hmm. I get that text message and then I look in on my cameras I have here in my house and I see her and some of her family moving things out. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm good with that. And then she gets her own place, gets everything going, and I'm still trying to put the pieces together in my mind, what the hell's going on. And then she starts posting these things on Facebook, like of this dog that she's got and then that she's has with her. And at this point in time, she and I start conversing again. There was probably 2 or 3 weeks we didn't talk to each other. So we start talking again. I just say, you know, whose dog? You know, ask her about the dog. She's, oh, it's a friend of the apartment owner. It's their dog. I said, well, okay, it's cool. And then for whatever God's reason, one of her friends pop up on her Facebook profile with the same dog. I said, that can't be coincident. Male friend at that. So I was like, well, that's interesting. I said, that dog looks like the dog you've been keeping. So at that point in time, I said, well, she's been seeing someone. Well, I look back. Well, when she showed up here to get her things on her final move in January of 2021, she was wearing some other guy's shirt that, you know, said, yeah. And I'm sitting in here. I said, well, that's fucking ballsy. But anyway, I let it go because she's moving out and got her own thing. So we continue to talk and I become numb. I was an emotional wreck. Okay. I ain't gonna lie to that. I was an emotional wreck.
Sure.
You know, it took its toll on me. Because I did not expect it. I figured, you know, when she told me she considered cheating emotional or physical, I didn't think I would have no worry with that. You know, my mind was elsewhere. But when things like that started popping up, it took its emotional toll on me. So we continued to talk. back and forth. And I don't know if something happened with her and him, because she got to where she was talking to me a lot more. We started, she started, well, you're becoming the guy I fell in love with. You know, that's the old you. And I said, well, I'm going to see a therapist. Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to see a therapist. And I said, would you be interested in doing therapy with me? And she goes, no, I'm not going to do that. She goes, I've had therapy in the past. It don't work. And it's not for me. And I'm like, okay, then.
I'm perfect. I don't need to be fixed. It's all you, Chris.
Exactly. So I went through them, and the therapist, he said, you're fine. He goes, nothing for you to be concerned about. So, and by the end, she and I was talking about getting together again. We start seeing each other. We start going out, doing things. And then by, I don't know, it was January, February, March, by March, mid to late March and early April, she started moving things back in, started staying with me, you know, started coming back here to my home. And we got back together again.
Now, you weren't divorced.
No, we were not divorced. We were just separated.
Okay. So I got to back up and ask a couple of questions about
this. Okay.
I'm not going to ask how much money was in the bank account, but let's just say a round number. Let's say there was $10,000 in the bank account, just to keep the numbers easy.
Okay.
So you're at work, you get notified that she's taking $5,000. Mm-hmm. You've only been married for 2 years. Mm-hmm. How much of that $10,000 was in it from you versus from her?
Probably the majority of it was from me. And we haven't gotten to this point yet to where I'm going to drill down on a few other things. But I don't try to, I try not to let money play a huge part in things, but it got the best of me with this marriage because of where things are getting ready to go. So she took half of that out. And she goes, well, I need it for my apartment. I need it for furniture. I need it for this, need it for that. And I always keep cash here in a safe regardless. You know, I don't keep everything in the bank. It's just one of those redneck ways of thinking, I reckon. I don't know. But so anyhow, that part, yes, it did wreak havoc on me, but we're going to back up to October 2019, because this is where January of 2020 is going to play effect. Is it October 19? No. Get my date straight. No, January 2021. This is 22. Okay. Got to get my year straight. But anyway, October 2019, she starts this thing wanting a brand new car. I'm like, no, we don't need a brand new car. I said, you just bought a car 8-9 months ago. What brand new is it used? Well, shit like it. But she wanted a brand new car. And of course, I'm saying no. You know, she goes and does it on her own. You know, picks the car out that she wants. I'm with her, but I'm not co-signing on the loan or anything. So she gets the new car. And of course, at that point in time, it pisses me off that she disrespected me in the point where I wanted us to be financially in our older age. Okay. As we age, I don't want to have to want for anything. So she gets the car. We continue on down the road with it. And then I'm going to fast forward back to 2021. And this is going to be another red flag. January 25th of 2021, she says she wants to trade the car in. Okay.
Which she just had for a year-ish?
Yeah, year-ish. Brand new, not even 16,000-17,000 miles on this car. It's brand new. So she goes looking at cars. Well, she finds one at the dealership. And at this point in time, we're not back together. We're still separated, living apart, and all this and that. And she finds this 2021 Nissan Maxima Platinum, a $45,000 car that she wants. I was like, I'm still not on board with it. And the salesman, I'm still not on the car loan at this time. So the salesman is talking to her and said, if you can put $3,000 down, you know, we can get you in this car. And she's all giddy about it. I said, well, I guess, you know, I've got the cash. And I'm like, you know, I'll do this. I gave her the $3,000 to put down on it. She goes, oh my God, I love you for life type deal. You know, if you do this for me, you know, type deal. That was the biggest red flag. And I walked right past that son of a bitch. Like it wasn't even waving at me. Over a damn car.
We are so stupid.
Oh, I agree. I know I am. I know for a fact I am. So, but yeah.
Wow.
So she gets that car. It's in her name only. So she drives that car. We're moving on through to 2021 at this point in time. We're going along in 2021, and the car payment's wreaking havoc on her because it's a pretty good car payment. And she goes, well, I want to get rid of that car payment. Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Now, as we're moving along, our distance between ourselves, I think, is growing greater, is what I'm seeing. And the text, the phone calls, and everything else for her is getting more and more. So as we move along, she's wanting to get out from underneath that car. So at this point in time, she can't do it alone. She has to have me on it. So we go trade that in for a 2021 Nissan Rogue. I have to be on it. I'm still on it at this point in time, but she can't get me off of it because she ain't got the credit to get me off of it. But she's been ordered to by the judge. Of course, by now we're divorced, but I know I'm jumping around everywhere. I'm trying to put it all together. So.
Right.
Yes. So anyway, we trade that in and she's driving that. And of course, our distance, both physically and mentally, is growing apart from each other. We're no longer physical with each other. And, you know, we're just more roommates, I guess, what you want to say, than anything. Even if that. I wouldn't even give it that.
Let's put the time frame in again here. So okay. You've got this Nissan Rogue mm-hmm. That she bought, mm-hmm. and you helped her with that.
Yes.
At that point, you're what give or take, where are we? March 21?
At this point, we're into November of 21. Yes, we're into November of 21.
So less than a year ago,
yes,
from right now.
On the vehicles. Now, there's more to add to this as I'm getting ready to go to. So I'm going to pause it November.
All right.
Pause it November 21 for the vehicles. So when she comes back, moves back in with me, she goes, I want to remodel the house, repaint it, new floors, new cabinet tops, make it ours. Because everything I had here was mine. I done myself. And I'm like, you know, I'm okay with that. The house I built in 06, it could use a little. My dumb ass said okay. So I'm thinking, I want to do this a little at a time, pay cash as we go. But that wasn't good enough for her. She wanted to do it all at once. So I take out a home equity line of credit to do this flooring, paint, countertops, tile backsplash, all this 9 yards. So she says, well, since we're at it, this home equity line of credit, they give us this limit. I ain't going to say how much. Well, I probably will here in a minute. She goes, can we pay off this credit card that I have that's maxed out? And I go, what credit card? And she had maxed out a credit card when she had moved out on her own.
So she took the cash out of your joint account and maxed out the credit card.
A credit card that she got that I knew nothing about. It was her own bit. You know, she done it on her own. Maxed it out. And I'm like, okay, you know, we'll put that in there. You know, we'll have to double down on get rid of this shit because I don't like being in debt. So we put that on the home equity line of credit. And this is raked up there pretty good at this point in time. And we've got a new vehicle, which she's upside down in. Probably by at least $12,000 upside down from as many trades that she had done. A home equity line of credit that mm-hmm. she's run up, paid the credit card off within that home equity line of credit. And the whole time, I don't get the feeling she was with me. Is what I guess I'm trying to get, you know, like we're growing apart. So
Chris, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I know you said that money, you try not to let the money stuff get to you, mm-hmm. and I respect that. Money is clearly a big part of this story.
Yes.
There's no question about that.
Yes.
Do you look back now, here we are, you know, a year or two after all this came down, do you see yourself basically buying her love or trying to buy her love?
Yes. Yes. I see that. That was the major red flag. I should have just said, fuck it, when we was at that Nissan dealership and she was getting that Maxima and she goes, I love you forever if you do this. I should have just marched my ass out and called someone to pick me up and went home. That's what I should have done.
Yeah, but she said all the right things. Yep. She hugged you, kissed you. I love you forever.
Yes.
And all it cost you was $3,000.
Yeah. And right then and there. Wow.
Yeah. Well, little did you know, right? It was going to cost you a lot more, but that was a small price to pay.
Yeah. That should have been my cue to walk the hell out, but I didn't. I was dumb.
Yep.
You know, once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, we all are.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, so now you've got this big, big home equity nut.
Yeah. Yep. We got that. And in my mind, I'm thinking we're together for, you know, we're partners in this. We're going to knock it out. We're going to, you know, build everything up, you know, because I don't want to work for the rest of my life. I want to be sitting somewhere on a beach. Boy, nice warm beach. I'm okay with that. But she doesn't see it that mm-hmm. way. She doesn't see it that way. Now, I'm going to fast forward to this year because everything else in between is kind of mundane. It's the typical, you know, we are not physical with each other. We're just tolerating each other at this point in time. And my daughter and her husband are getting ready to move down to Daytona. And mm-hmm. we're planning this all out. And I said, go ahead and get us an Airbnb and we'll make it a little small vacation for us. And we'll, you know, because I'm going to drive the U-Haul down. You know, my kids are driving their vehicles loaded and I'm going to take the U-Haul down. Well, 2 weeks prior to me leaving, I said, what about the Airbnb? She goes, I'm not going. I go, you're not going. I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, I'm not going. I said, okay. So I get my own Airbnb. Me and my son, we're going down together, get my own Airbnb, get that taken care of. And at this point in time, things are getting really rocky. I guess you could say I'm seeing the writing on the wall, but as I am in Florida, she calls me up. She goes, I'm going to take her son, her son's girlfriend, their little kid to the aquarium. I said, hey, that's great. You know, it's awesome. You know, you get out and do something with your kid. Well, I see the charge come through on the card. Well, that seems like a little expensive just for them. So I go through adding up the math. So the math was for four adults. The math was for four adults and one child, and it should have just been for three adults and one child.
Were you suspicious? Is that why you checked? Or are you just that?
Yes.
Are you being extra cautious because of the home equity line? Or are you always like this about paying your credit card?
I was suspicious about that because I'm like, she didn't say anything. That shouldn't have been that much. Now, I'm not a total idiot, so I'm suspicious about it. So I asked her. She goes, well, she goes, it was for my mom. I go, oh, okay. Her mom went. So at this point in time, I'm already at a point to where there was another incident. Things start adding up. There was another incident to where a charge came through on our credit card to where she had breakfast probably about an hour and 15 minutes from where I live in this town. And I questioned her about that. She goes, me and mom went to breakfast. And I was like, okay. Because she said she was spending the night with her mom. But little did I know at that time, she was spending the night with her boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're coming up to affair number two that I'm aware of. So so at this point in time, I find out later. So I'm starting to go through these. I said, well, fuck it. I'm going through the phone bill. So I start going through the phone bill. I start calling all these phone numbers that I don't recognize. I just start calling these motherfuckers. I said, I'm going to find out who's who. I don't care.
There you go.
You know, I don't care. You know, I've had a few drinks in me at about midnight. I don't give a fuck. So I start calling these people. And I talked to one guy out of Indianapolis. And granted, I am probably 2.5-3 hours south of Indianapolis. So I talked to this one guy. He goes, well, I met her on Zeusk. You met her where? And of course, I didn't know what Zeusk was at the time. And he told me it's a dating website. So he sent me all her dating website information. So I signed up to Zeusk, found her on the dating website, and sent her all this. I said, what the fuck? And she...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she's out there on another dating site. I'm sure that's sadly all too common. But yeah. So she's out there meeting a guy. And so she met this guy from Indianapolis. It's not, right? I mean, they were talking, and were they?
No, he said he never met her. They was just chit-chatting. There's one of these, like I told you, I was talking earlier. They was texting back and forth, and it's all different way. He said he never met her. And so he gave me all that information. And at that point in time, I kept calling phone numbers. And then finally, I hit a phone number that she was with, somebody she was with, because she started calling me. She goes, quit calling.
Like literally at that moment in time,
yes.
She was with them?
Yes. Yes. At that moment in time, she says, quit calling. But she goes, quit calling people. I said, fuck you. I'm going to keep calling. I'll call all night long. I don't care. So, and I did. At that point in time, it was done. I filed for divorce while I was still in Daytona. That Monday morning rode around. I called, of course, this is before I knew about our divorce, that one. I called one of the local ones up here. It was, they done uncontested divorces. And I said, do you have any reason to contest me on anything? She goes, no. She goes, we'll use the same group of people. We'll do an uncontested divorce. And I was like, okay, I'm good with that. So at this point in time, my mind is in overdrive. I'm thinking, this bitch is in love. You know, she is love struck with this guy that she's with. So I use that kind of to my advantage.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It was hard for me to keep my cool around her, because when I came back from Daytona, she was here. You know, I had a friend of mine pick me up at the airport, me and my son. He brought me home because I didn't want to be around. I didn't want to ride home with her. And I came in and I said, why are you here? I said, you need to find you somewhere to go. I don't want you here. We're done. And of course, she stayed here a few more nights after that until she finally moved in with a friend of hers. It wasn't a guy friend. It was a girlfriend that I knew she lived with before. And anyway, I filed the divorce. And then the attorney sent me the paperwork. It was probably, 35 pages long of paperwork of everything legality-wise. I email it to her.
Yep.
And she looks at it because we'd got together, sat down and agreed on what she was going to take the Rogue. I was going to keep this. We agreed on everything. I sent it to her. I said, read over it. Make sure you're okay with it. Within maybe less than a minute later, she sent it back. She said, I'm okay with it. I'm like, she didn't even fucking read that son of a bitch.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, she didn't even read that son of a bitch. So that was March the 24th of this year, of 2022, that I filed. And by April the 25th, it was final. So it was like 3.5 weeks later, the divorce was final.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm not definitely not a proponent of either party not reading it.
Yeah.
But for everyone listening, that's what an uncontested divorce can be. Mm-hmm. Divorce does not have to take a year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to cost tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. It can cost a couple hundred bucks and take 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, again, she probably should have taken 5 minutes to read it.
Yeah.
Or an hour to read it. But but still, even if she'd taken that hour, we could have had this whole thing over in 3.5 weeks.
So the divorce was final, and she kept asking me, you know, when's it going to be final? When are we, when's it over with? Where's it at? You know, she was very persistent with it. And of course, that threw red flags up with me, saying she's love struck. She's got somebody else. She's ready to move in with them. You know, she's ready to go. Mm-hmm. So when I told her that the divorce was final. I was walking into my grandson's baseball game. I told her the divorce was final. 2 days later, she starts posting pictures of her and her new man on Facebook. 2 days later. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. Said, well, that answers
why
that.
Why was she waiting? Is they?
I don't know.
Does Kentucky have some sort of adultery provision or something?
I don't think so. And, the reasoning behind the badge bunny title, if the viewers read into that, they may see that there may be something that I'm not unaware of. I don't think so. But, with him being who he was, you know, there may have been something in that aspect that I don't know. You know, maybe something behind the scenes that I don't know.
Oh. So he may have been, don't post anything until your divorce is final.
Yes, it may have been.
Got it.
On his side. Okay. I can't answer that question. So, and with her profile.
By the way, let's go down that a little bit.
Okay.
Because you started going down the badge bunny thing. Mm-hmm. You started to mention, so why we're calling her badge bunny. So now is a good time to talk about that?
Yeah, because she likes to run off with cops.
So boyfriend number one was a cop.
Yes.
And now boyfriend number two that we know of is also a cop.
Well. He was boyfriend number two. I'm getting ready to tell you a story behind that. So,
okay. So
at this point in time, I want zero to do with her. I don't care to talk to her. I don't care to see her. I don't care. I don't even want to know if she breathes the same air on the same planet that I live on. So by word, and of course, everybody likes to talk shit. But anyway, supposedly, she walks in on him and his ex-wife together. He was cheating on her with his ex-wife.
Well, what comes around goes around.
Yep, and that came around really fast, really fast. So, yeah, so that needless to say, the pictures came off Facebook. It was instantly off Facebook. Everything was instantly off Facebook from that point. Of course, I already had what I needed, you know, from seeing it. But, yeah, she pulled all that down almost instantly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So just out of curiosity, here we are, you know, a year later, whatever. Are you guys still on Facebook friends?
No. This is another caveat behind this is when she moved out the first time, she went and got a puppy, another dog. She had two dogs here that she just left behind. She went and got another dog. Well, in Kentucky, what is in your possession at the time of divorce is considered yours. Property, what property is yours in your possession is considered yours. Well, in Kentucky, a dog is considered property. So, and I knew if this dog went with her, the dog wouldn't have a chance in hell. So I didn't let her have the dog. She wanted the dog. So she instantly deleted me off Facebook, blocked me from everything. I mean, she went total tyrant over it. I didn't give a fuck. Whoop-de-doo. So, but since then, since then, she's requested to be my friend on Facebook and everything again. Of course, I don't want anything to do with it. I want zero. I don't even want to know if she exists.
Right.
I'm still that angry.
That's a smart man there.
That she took me through the cleaners. And I'll throw the total figure out, including the cars, was within a 1-year time period. from us getting back together to us divorcing was almost right at $100,000 that she went through. That includes the home equity line of credit. That includes the car and the credit card that she run up and all that. You know, it was $100,000 within that year. Now, when I filed for divorce, she was not supposed to take anything financially out. You know, any financial was supposed to be a joint effort of us both. Well, between March the 25th and April the 24th, she withdrew another $8,650 off that home equity line before I could get it shut down. So it was time said done. It was almost $100,000.
So I often spout the statistic that the average divorce costs about $15,000, but that's in legal fees.
Yes.
Sounds like you guys only spent a couple hundred bucks on legal fees.
Yes.
But the cost was five or six times that. Mm-hmm. In other costs.
Yeah.
And it was really costs leading up to, and by the way, did you get your house fixed up? Or did you spend the money on the?
Yes. Yeah. I spent the money on the house. I mean, me being a typical guy, I was happy with what I had. So.
Sure. But at least you have something to show for it. It's not all just paying off credit cards and stuff like that. I mean, at least there is something you get to live in, and it's a nicer place. And even if you didn't care, it's a nice place.
I agree. Yes. You're okay. Correct. Yes. You're correct.
All right.
So within the last 4 weeks since I talked to you, that's probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, a new piece of information. Why it came to me, I don't know. That she had given up a son at an earlier age. I don't know how early. I don't know the age of the son. I did see a picture of this kid, and I was like, oh, wow. So, she has another son from someone else. I don't know the full story on that yet, and I don't know if I ever know it. I really don't care, to be honest with you, because that's over with. But there was the lies, the deceit, and the secrets that was kept through it all.
So you're, I'll call him your stepson, even though, I mean, you guys weren't married long enough to probably build quite a relationship with her son. Did he live with you guys?
Yes. And he still comes around.
He
still comes around. I help him out. His dad passed away in October 2020, and I love him like he's my own son. No different, stepson or not. If he needs something, he calls me up. I'll still be there for him. You know, I thank the world of the boy. He's a good kid, and I'll do anything for him.
Good for you. So back in February of 2017, my oldest boy, who's my stepson, was living on his own. And I find out about what turns out to be her first affair, or at least the first one that I know of. And I find out on a Friday night, and Saturday, literally the next day, it was a pretty rough day. Mm-hmm. But my stepson had planned on coming to see us, and he lived about an hour and a half north, and I hadn't seen him for a few months. And so the three of us are out to dinner. This is literally less than 24 hours after finding out about her affair. I am an emotional wreck. I'm putting on the best face that I can, but this is hard. Anybody who's been through it, you try to put on a brave face, but man, I was barely holding it in. Well, we're sitting there at dinner, and I'm sitting across from the two of them, and I just sat there looking at my stepson, and I have been his dad since he was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And this wave of emotion just hit me that how dare her put my relationship with him at risk by sleeping with this other dude. Mm-hmm. And it was anger. It was sadness. It was betrayal. It was all of these emotions just welled up inside of me. And I started crying, and I didn't want him to see it because we had agreed we weren't going to tell the kids about this. Mm-hmm. But I got up and left the restaurant. Wow. I just went out in the car and I texted her and I said, you guys finish your dinner. I'm out in the car. Mm-hmm. And so we went back home, he got in his car and he drove away, and she never said a word. She never said, I'm so sorry about that. She never brought it up again. And I'm thinking, you know, looking back, like you were saying, what'd you say? Your dumb ass said, okay.
Yeah.
My dumb ass didn't say a thing.
Yeah.
And I look back on that and it's just, there's a lot of emotions that goes into this stuff. So
it does.
And when you have a stepkid, I'm glad I still have a great relationship with him. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he and I do too. And I would do anything for him. He's a great kid.
Yeah. So you've now been divorced since April. It's August. So we're talking about just 4 months, mm-hmm. less than 4 months that you've been officially divorced. Mm-hmm. What's happened other than finding out about another kid? Anything else happen that can add to the craziness of the story?
Not yet, but I'm sure it's not over with, because that there was something out of the blue. See, that was way out of left field. I mean, I don't go probing for this either. You know, I don't go asking. It just,
sure.
I'm like, what the fuck? Why now? You know, yeah. Hell, we're divorced.
Well, I hope you'll keep us posted on, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So now that you're divorced, are you dating yet? Or are you giving it some time?
Yes. Yes. I have met someone. We're both walking softly on it. She's a great person. You know, we're just talking to each other, helping each other through things. So
there you go. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take it slow. And if she starts wanting to move in 60 days, maybe that should be your first red flag. All right. Now that you've mm-hmm. been through this, you're a twice divorced 51-year-old man. Mm-hmm. You spent 12 or 13 years single.
Yes.
Between these marriages. So you've kind of lived all the different sides of marriage and divorce and single man mm-hmm. life and everything else. So you're a wise man now.
Yeah.
So what advice would you share with our listeners, so that they don't fall into the same traps that you did?
Always trust your gut on things. You know, if you have an intuition or think something's going on, question it. Don't be like my dumb ass. See the red flag waving at you and just walk right past it. Some of it's just stop, you know, find out right then and there, you know, yes, that I was at a weak moment in my life, but I should have manned up and said, fuck it. You know, I should have just walked away then. I wouldn't have been going through the shit I'm going through, you know, financially with her, but trust your gut on things.
That's good advice. It's ironic. I have a friend staying with me for a couple of weeks. He's been going through some tough times. And just earlier today, I used that exact phrase, you know, we were talking about something different. And I said, your little head does its own thinking.
Yes.
But trust your gut.
Yeah. Trust your gut.
I'll tell you what, Chris, like I said, I hope that you'll keep us posted if you find out anything more crazy, like she turns out that she used to be a nun or, something like that. Just keep us posted on that. Obviously, you and I are in the same club, mm-hmm. right? I mean, those of us who've been divorced, we're all in a club. Those of us who've been twice divorced, man, that's a different club, and it's not a club anybody wants to be in. So, welcome to this club, and sorry to say welcome to you.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, thanks for being here, and thanks for sharing your story, because I know it's never easy.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. Sometimes the simplest advice is the best advice. Trust your gut is some of that simple, but important advice. It's crazy that Chris is still learning just how messed up Badge Bunny really is. I almost feel bad for her. Almost. I have a message to Badge Bunny and the ex-spouses of all of our guests. Even though we don't know your names, each of you knows who you are, and it's not progressing. Yeah. Sometimes the simplest advice is the best advice. Trust your gut is some of that simple but important advice. Isn't it crazy that Chris is still learning just how messed up Badge Bunny really is? I almost feel sorry for her. Almost. I have a message to Badge Bunny and the ex-spouses of all our guests. Even though we don't know your names, each of you knows who you are, and you're welcome to come on the show and tell your side of the story. Just go to mycrazydivorce.com and apply like your ex already did. I'd really love to hear your defense. Before we go, if you liked our show, please take a minute and give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're using right now. It really helps us move up the charts. Thanks for listening. I hope you have an amazing week. Bye.
Possibilities of what I could, oh, do with the world at my fingertips. My imagination brings a smile up to my lips.
Did you know you can get divorced without hiring an attorney? Let OurDivorce.com guide you through our 3-step process for a simple flat fee. Visit OurDivorce.com to learn more and get started today.